I watched a TikTok the other day where this woman was talking about, she was like, all the ways my middle school students have hurt my feelings.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And one of the ways was, it was like a science, she's a science teacher. Yeah. So they're supposed to look at her and make inferences. It was the first day, it was like a get to know you thing, right? First day of school.
Oh no.
And they were like, she looks like she shops at Goodwill, which the woman was like,
I do.
Offended by it. And I'm all like, listen, I love Goodwill.
They've
like,
got good stuff.
I get why people are weird about it. Like, I totally get why people are.
Because of somebody else worried, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, I like it because you never know what you're going to find. It's the whole like.
Yeah.
And also, what you're going to find at Goodwill is not like everybody else in Lexington is buying the same thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Not to say that I don't go to the mall or Target. Not all of my clothes come from Goodwill, but I just, like, I don't know, when I'm bored.
We love a good Anthropology outfit. But
also, when you find Anthropology at Goodwill, it's the most amazing
experience
ever. Or Lululemon or J. Crew. Like,
yeah. Sophie's really big into sweatshirts right now. So she wants to go to Goodwill and find all the old sweatshirts because nobody has that kind. So she thinks it's cool.
I just forget, I guess, because I don't think anything of it. I forget that there are people who think it's really... like cringy. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's not like I don't wash it.
Right. Right.
Whatever. I love clothes. That's the other thing. I love clothes.
Yeah.
I have a ridiculous amount of them. And so in order to make myself feel better about how many clothes I have, if I get a lot of them at Goodwill, then it's not like a hard on the budget.
Right. Know? Exactly.
This is all about being a responsible adult. And if I am anything, Kara,
that you are.
It's a responsible adult.
That you are.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Kara.
This is the Witches, Magic, Murder, and Mystery podcast. As always, there's a disclaimer for the dogs that are downstairs. And
they're beagles. They like to howl and I love it.
Millie is tiny and fierce. Somebody walks by the house and she goes nuts.
Yeah, but if you approach her, don't talk about
she
it.
She just takes off running.
I said, do you want to come in here with us? And she said, nope, and darted down the stairs.
She was creeping up the stairs like she was going to.
She's making moves.
But then you looked at her.
And... don't do that.
It's like those ghosts on that Super Mario Brothers game where they'll follow you as long as you're not looking. And then you turn around, they're like, that's Millie.
It is Millie. God, N64 Super Mario.
There was a really great arcade bar down in St. Pete.
Oh.
It was an arcade brewery. It was something like the bar around the corner, or just around the corner, or something like that. Anyway, they had old classic stuff like that. They had Duck Hunt. I mean, it was great. I loved it.
That's so
one funny. Of the rainier days when we were on vacation.
Yes.
Okay. It is Friday.
Yes.
What's that noise?
A train.
Do you think a helicopter is like literally landing on my house right now?
It's going to land on my car and take my car away.
Alrighty. So this story was emailed to us by Rebecca, who is also the one who sent us the Puerto Rican legend. So basically threw this one at the end and was like, here's just another case just that I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. Not that it has any ties to her or anything.
Right.
So... Lars Metank was a 28-year-old guy with a long-term girlfriend, lots of friends, and a good job.
Okay.
He worked for Wilhelmshaven, Germany's only deep water port and its largest naval base. So that's one thing
I knew all about.
I didn't even have to read any more about it. Right. I was like, oh, yeah, that place in Germany. Right.
I knew this.
So he had a good relationship with his family. Like, his dad had had a stroke, actually. Mm-hmm. But Lars would regularly go by his parents' house to work with them and help out with things like help his mom and do the things since his dad wasn't able to. So Lars was German, born in Berlin, but lived his entire life in a smaller city, population 32,000-ish, with a name that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because every time I try it, it sounds offensive. Just not going to do that. On June 30th, 2014.
Oh, so not long ago.
Lars left Germany for the very first time.
He ventured out.
28. Wow. The first time he left Germany.
Wow.
He traveled to Varna, Bulgaria with five of his friends, and they stayed at this seaside resort called the Golden Sands, located on the Black Sea coast. Golden Sands is basically the Bulgarian equivalent of Ibiza. Lots of sun, sand, cheap alcohol.
Right. You know.
Lars and his buddies spent the week relaxing, enjoying the beach, the pool, playing football, going to clubs, you know, just like a guy's trip, having a good time. One of the guys on the trip said Lars was in a good mood and he seemed completely fine, except for the fact that he wasn't eating a whole lot.
Oh.
But when I read that, it almost felt like, wow, they're really digging to find something.
Yeah. Like, I feel like sometimes when we travel, our stomachs are like, funny.
I mean... well, if I have to find something strange about his behavior,
he didn't eat much.
I guess it'd be he didn't eat a whole lot. Like he would have a soup or a salad at mealtime. And that could be any number of things. So who knows? maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a financial
thing. Yeah.
Maybe he just had some weird stomach stuff going on. Maybe he has a gluten problem.
Maybe.
There could be lots of reasons, but.
Maybe he read in a thing that you shouldn't eat certain stuff there.
Maybe.
Maybe you don't know.
Knows.
Nobody knows.
On their last night in town, Lars and his friends went to a bar where they ran into some other German folks. And ended up, they got into a disagreement over football.
German folks.
Which we're taught there, you know, soccer.
Yeah. The actual football.
Yes. They argued about which team was better.
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean, apparently it got pretty heated. But it's also like, you know how people get about their sports teams and then there's alcohol and who knows.
Right.
Testosterone and all
it's
that.
It's like going to an Orange Bowl.
Right. So Lars and his friends left the bar. And then apparently Lars separated from his friends. They were all like, we're going to go eat. And Lars was like, I'm just going to go back to the hotel. Which kind of...
I can't eat. So.
Well, that's the thing. It kind of lines up with the whole thing of like, he's not eating a whole lot.
Yeah.
But when his friends got back to the hotel, he wasn't there. They didn't see him again until the next morning. So he did come back. But when he showed back up, he told his friends he had been beaten up the night before by four guys hired by the group in the bar that they'd had the disagreement with.
Huh.
It's a very complicated story.
Yeah.
He was apparently, he looked pretty rough and they were like, you need to go to the doctor. So he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with an injured jaw, possible concussion.
What?
And a ruptured eardrum. And the doctor's like, you can't fly with a ruptured eardrum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It'll cause you intense pain.
Yeah.
The doctor also prescribed. He described it and then he prescribed.
He described and prescribed.
Right. An antibiotic.
I love it when they do that. They,
it's very good.
Yeah.
500 milligrams of Cefprazil. To keep his wounds from becoming infected.
Wounded.
Even when I read wounds, I was like, wound. I can't say it any other way. Okay. So remember, this is the day they're supposed to go home. And Lars, now he can't fly. The doctor's like, he can't fly.
Yeah.
His friends are like, look, we'll just stay. We don't want to
fly without you.
Yeah. We'll stay here with you. And Lars is like, no, I'm totally fine.
Oh, okay.
Like, go ahead. Just go on and fly home.
I did just get beat up by four unknown
men. Yeah, but
leave.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Y'all leaving me.
That they hired, apparently.
Yeah.
So they all check out of the resort, Lars included. They all check out. And then he checks in to a different hotel, Hotel Color Varna.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not how you say it. It's probably Color or something
mm-hmm.
for one night. It was cheaper. It was closer to the airport. And apparently he only had to delay the trip for one day.
Oh, I would have flown anyways.
I don't know.
I would have been like, give me Tylenol.
So all of this seems fairly normal, right? Like, I mean, the fight thing is weird, but whatever. Right. Some people get really freaked out about their sports teams.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that he's like, those people that I had that argument with hired four guys to attack me.
Right.
Like, how did he know?
Do you know that? Did they like sit there and beat
you? Hello,
you?
We would like to introduce ourselves.
We are here. We were hired by a couple gentlemen who you disagree with. Go Cards. You, sir.
Yes. Let's have a fight. Like, I don't understand that whole thing.
Yeah.
So Lars checks into his new hotel. His friends go home.
Yeah.
And this is where the weird stuff starts.
Oh, it just now gets weird. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like before it was kind of strange.
Yeah.
But maybe not. And now we're like, okay, this is objectively bizarre.
Okay.
Listen, we're not going to be able to stop recording every time this lawnmower goes by.
Gets so closer.
Sorry. Lars is at the hotel and he calls his mother, Sandra.
Right.
And he tells her, cancel my credit cards. Because there are people after me.
So even though I'm getting ready to fly, cancel everything.
Cancel the cards. They want to rob me. They want to kill me. He specifically mentions four men, which makes you think it must be those four men
that
who beat him up.
Yeah.
And Sandra is like, I thought he was in danger.
Yeah,
I could
actually
hear his heart pounding over the phone.
Ooh.
So he paced up and down the halls of the hotel. And it's all caught on the hotel security footage. And they could see him. He's like pacing and he'll like look out the windows and he'll like hide in the elevator. And he was very obviously scared.
Yeah.
And paranoid. Like he was looking, like making sure no one was out there.
Yeah.
He ends up leaving the hotel at 1 o'clock in the morning, but he comes back an hour later at 2 a.m.
Why would you just go stay at the airport if you're going to fly? And
I don't know.
Scared.
Maybe he didn't know where he'd be safe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
But we don't know. So he's gone for that hour from the hotel and we don't know what he did or where he went.
Huh.
So he stayed in touch with his mom through the phone calls and through texts throughout the whole night.
Okay.
In one of his texts to her, he asked questions about the antibiotic that he'd been prescribed. The doctor didn't describe it enough, and he had more questions.
Yeah.
So he was so worked up by the next morning that he had decided he was going to just go on home.
Right.
And Sandra booked him a flight for that afternoon.
Okay.
And also bought him a bus ticket just in case the doctor said it wasn't safe to fly, because he had to go make sure for before he actually flew out. And in addition to that, she sent him 500 euros. So, like, he didn't have to fly.
Yeah.
He could have just taken the bus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's July 8th, 2014, the day after his friends left. Lars takes a taxi to the airport, hoping to head home.
Right.
He texts his mom, says, hey, I'm at the airport.
Right.
And he goes to see the airport doctor just to be checked out one more time to make sure it's okay for him to fly.
Right.
And the doctor cleared Lars to head home.
Okay, good.
Later on, the doctor said that Lars was nervous and his behavior was really erratic. And it's kind of the same stuff that we see on the security footage.
Right.
When the doctor said it was fine for Lars to go home, Lars didn't leave. He like stayed there in the office for a minute. And instead of like being like, cool, thanks, doc, and out the door.
Yeah.
He starts asking questions again about the medication that he had been prescribed.
Oh, okay.
Prescribed.
Great. Kara. Wow.
Similar to the same kind of things that he'd been asking his mom.
Right.
While he's still in there, a construction worker comes in. There'd been construction work going on in the airport.
Yeah.
And so that construction worker comes in who just needed to see the doctor for one reason or another.
Right.
And when he comes in, Lars kind of freaks out. He starts shaking and he shouts, I don't want to die here. I have to get out of here. And he runs out of the office. Now,
what?
You can see this footage on YouTube.
Oh.
It's the airport security footage.
Right.
He just ran out immediately. He didn't grab any of his things. So he took all his
baggage.
Yeah. So he left his backpack, his travel bag, cell phone, wallet, passport. He left it all there in the doctor's office because this construction worker comes in. He panics and he darts out.
Oh, my gosh.
He heads out of the doctor's office and out of the airport completely. So on the airport security footage, you can see him in a yellow T-shirt running away from the airport. It's upsetting to me to see it. It's, he's just clearly terrified. He is so scared. And so he climbs a fence, runs into a meadow, and takes off sprinting towards a nearby like forest, woods. To this day, no one knows what happened to him after that. He's heading towards the forest and he disappears from the camera's view. And that is it.
Sightings afterwards.
There hasn't been a single confirmed sighting of Lars Metank since he ran out of the airport.
Are you serious?
And that 500 euros that his mom sent him has never been withdrawn. So Sandra hired a private investigator to search for her son. Mm-hmm. And the PI checked hospital records for patients without ID, but that didn't turn up anything.
Okay.
Lars knew how to hunt, fish, and trap. So like he ran into the woods. It's possible that he could have survived there for a little bit. But it was also incredibly hot. And even with his skills, there just wouldn't be enough food to stay there very long. Right. I don't think it was that kind of woods. In 2015, so the following year, a truck driver thought he saw Lars hitchhiking in Varna, but this was never confirmed.
Okay.
In 2016, police in Brazil picked up a man with no ID. Now, this man had amnesia and didn't know his own identity. They took him to the hospital and circulated his picture on social media. And some people thought, that kind of looks like Lars. Wasn't him. He turned out to be Anton Palipa, a Toronto man who had been missing for 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
That's a whole other thing. I'm like, did he have amnesia for 5 years?
Yeah. Whoa.
Because remember how we've learned that
it's a thing.
Very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
But he had been missing for 5 years. Can you imagine? And then he shows up. In 2019, a German truck driver gave a hitchhiker a ride from Dresden to Schildau, which I'm 100% sure of. And at that time, the truck driver didn't know about the Lars Metank case.
Right.
Later, when he found out about Lars, he said that hitchhiker had resembled Lars and had a long hair and a beard. If you look up Lars, he does not have, at the time that he disappeared, he did not have a long hair and a beard. So it seems like.
But I mean, 2014 to 2019,
he would look different
pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying to be able to recognize him seems strange.
Yeah.
It's not like he knew what to be looking for. And in the moment, it's all based on his memory. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm not saying it couldn't have been, but it just seems really.
Here's a stranger.
I have my doubts.
Yeah.
One of the biggest questions is how much of Metank's paranoid behavior was rooted in reality?
Right.
So according to his mom, Lars had no history of mental illness, and there's also no history of mental illness in his family.
Okay.
Obviously, he could have had undiagnosed mental illness, whether there was family history or not. It starts somewhere.
What if that medication triggered it? Like, I one time took...
Literally the next paragraph.
Oh, okay, good.
Go ahead. You go.
I one time took... I had really bad sun poisoning, actually. And I had to take some sort of medication. And I... This is the only time I've ever sleepwalked. I was with Sophie's dad at the time. Like, 2 days after this happened, we were going to Miami. And he said that he found me just standing in my pajamas with a blanket around me, just on our deck, just staring off into the space. Uh-huh. And he put me back in bed.
That would creep me out. I've never encountered
a medical professional too. So he probably was like, oh God,
here she goes.
Here she goes. Here we go. It's going to be a thing. But I had to stop taking that medicine because I had a weird reaction to it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So the next paragraph is, and you know, he had all those questions. So some people have speculated that Lara's behavior was caused by some strange side effect of that medication that he was taking, or an interaction between the medication and some other possibly recreational drug.
Right. And also they had been drinking too.
Right. The thing is, most accounts say that he wasn't taking that medication and that in fact he hadn't even had it filled.
Oh.
Because he had all those questions about it.
Oh, yeah.
And the airport doctor is quoted as saying he didn't take those antibiotics. He didn't even fill his prescription. So his behavior couldn't have been a result of that. Now, a few of the articles I read said differently.
Yeah.
They said he had had the prescription filled and was taking it. And it's possible the airport doctor was mistaken.
Right.
But like, even if we say he was taking that medication, he told the story about the four people being hired to beat him up.
Right.
Before he ever even got prescribed that medication.
Right, exactly.
So we know he couldn't have been taking it then.
Yes.
That would mean at least that that story hadn't been some sort of delusion.
Okay.
And he clearly was beaten up. He had injuries.
That's what I was going to say. So the concussion, maybe?
Maybe.
Or like his eardrum being busted, messed up like his equilibrium and it just all like went to hell after that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's already weird. If we start there with just the night he came home or the morning he came home and he's like, these four men beat me up.
I'm a mess.
Why would some group of people who argued with him at a bar feel the need to
hire somebody?
Even more than that, why would, if they didn't hire anybody, why would they do it? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
They left the bar.
Yeah.
It was over.
Yeah.
It's not like they all left together.
Like, they're just going to hop to another bar. Yeah. They didn't hunt. I mean, did they hunt him down?
So... the four men who attacked Lars the night before his friends left have never been identified.
Okay.
So the only way we know this happened is because Lars told us it did.
He said so.
And I don't know how much we can believe what he says.
Right.
On the other hand, like I said, he had real injuries. So like someone beat him up.
Yeah.
And I also put that, speaking of injuries, let's not forget he had the concussion.
Right.
Which could have caused him to
behave
abnormally.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess theory one is some sort of psychosis.
Right.
Either brought on by his medication or undiagnosed mental illness.
Right.
I've told you.
Bad drug that he got.
Right.
Hold
true.
Yeah.
And I've told you my issues with the medication theory. So let's talk about the mental illness part.
Yeah.
So several people have mentioned schizophrenia in relation to Lars's case.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not a mental health professional.
Right.
I don't know if y'all know that.
College, but
I've just read a lot of stories.
Yeah.
But I did a little reading about this. So psychosis can come on suddenly.
Okay.
It can be triggered by several different things, including physical illness or injury, alcohol or smoking, lack of sleep, not getting enough food, and prescribed medication. Every single one of those is in this story.
Right.
So that could be. Another trigger could be recreational drugs, but Lars' family states that he didn't do any drugs.
Okay, but they were in a party city, so...
And I'm not saying they're lying. I'm just saying, let's leave open the possibility that they don't know that maybe his son didn't tell them.
Right, well, and maybe he wasn't into them, but they were all at this thing, and he was like, yeah, I'll try that.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're a person who does recreational drugs a little every now and then and doesn't impact your life very much, probably a whole lot of people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So when severe psychotic symptoms show up very suddenly, it's referred to as acute schizophrenia. It can happen anytime between a person's teens and early 30s, and he was 28.
Right.
It's very rarely outside of that range.
Oh.
Symptoms include delusions, disorganized or bizarre behavior, inability to take care of yourself, disorganized thinking, and auditory and visual hallucinations.
Well, there you go.
So that's possible.
Yeah.
We can't rule it out. Still, it only explains why he was suddenly acting so paranoid and erratic.
Right.
It doesn't explain how he disappeared and why
right.
his body's never been found.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, okay, something went wrong in his brain.
We still don't know where he is.
Right. You can't like
right.
make yourself disappear. Yeah. So theory two.
He's Lars, a magician.
He's David Copperfield. Lars ran away to start a new life. So I think this one is pretty easy to rule out.
Right.
Because, you know, at the very beginning, I told you, he had
his
a good job.
Yeah.
He had a long-term girlfriend. He had a good relationship with his family. He was super close with his yeah. parents. I don't think he would leave his mom to do all the things on his
right.
own, on her own. He had good friends. And of course...
And he kept in touch with his mom.
Right. Like, I know, you know, a person can appear to be perfectly happy
right.
and you never know
exactly.
what's going on behind
exactly.
the scenes. BetterHelp /WMMO.
Uh-huh.
But he was in touch with his mom. She's the first person he reached out to.
Right.
And then he stayed in touch with her
yeah.
the whole time. So if it's like, if he was planning to run away or disappear
yeah.
on purpose...
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Exactly.
I don't buy that
no,
at all.
I don't either.
Theory three. Someone or a group of people was actually pursuing Lars and killed him.
Maybe.
So this all goes back to we have no idea what's real and what isn't. If
right.
people really did beat him up a couple nights earlier.
Yeah.
I'm curious why they'd let him live in the first place.
Yeah.
If they were only going to track him down again later and kill
right.
him. Right.
Right. Right.
You think if these people wanted him dead, they just would have killed him when they beat him up the first time.
Exactly.
On the other hand.
Unless they were like, leave and don't come back. And then he's back. He's dead.
Yeah. Or maybe they left him and thought he was dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they thought he knew who they were or something.
I don't know.
But why?
But
would
over
they
football?
Track
like,
him?
Are you
right.
going to kill a guy?
And why would
football?
They track him all the way to the airport and just sit outside and wait for him?
And know that he would take off running and
yeah.
get into the woods.
Yeah. And was that a fake construction worker sent in there to, like, chit-chat with him?
Yeah, none of that makes
no,
sense.
No, that's so, way too much.
On the other hand, it would explain why nobody's ever been found.
Right.
Because someone did something with it.
Yeah.
Theory four. Lars was trafficked.
Oh.
Trafficking stuff...
Terrifies me.
It terrifies me. And it's way more common than you think.
Yeah.
And you may think you live in an area where it doesn't happen at all. And you're probably wrong.
Yeah, we're so very wrong.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Bulgaria has one of the highest rates of human trafficking in the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
Locals and tourists have been taken and forced into sex work, drug smuggling, and slavery, and they've also been killed for their organs.
Yeah.
So if we believe four men beat him up, one reason they may have continued to pursue him is because they belonged to a human trafficking ring
right.
and wanted to traffic him.
Yeah.
Theory five, Lars died by suicide.
Mm.
I think this is just a theory because no one's sure what was going on with his mental
right.
health,
yeah.
with his mental health. I mean, without knowing,
right.
it's hard to say that he may have died by suicide, but still, that still comes back to, then where is his body?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And like, what did he use to do so?
Right. He left
he took
with nothing.
Nothing with him.
So here's the last theory, I think. It's a weird kind of convoluted theory, but
mm-hmm.
it's interesting. That's why
okay.
I'm putting it in here.
Okay.
So Lars and or his friends were working as drug mules, maybe even involuntarily. So the theory goes... that Lars' friends were working as drug mules.
Okay.
Police didn't find any drugs in Lars' belongings. So they don't think he was involved.
Okay.
But it's been theorized that his friends flew back without him to take drugs to Germany. And Lars had to stay behind in Bulgaria as some sort of insurance.
Oh.
Maybe the reason he got so freaked out at the airport is because he thought his friends had gotten caught and he was about to be arrested. So he took off. I didn't really think anything weird about Lars' friend's behavior when I initially read the story.
Right.
You picked up on something that I just didn't, how
yeah.
they left.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, guy friends are different.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if they would just be like, all right, he says it's fine.
See you, bye.
But you noticed right away where you were like, you're leaving him even though he just got beat
yeah.
up. But I didn't even think anything of it. I do think it's odd that the night of the flight, Lars had said he was going back to the hotel.
Right.
And when his friends didn't find him there, it doesn't seem like they contacted police or anything.
Yeah.
Why weren't they more worried when he was gone all night long and they didn't know where he was? Also, did he have his cell phone then? We know he had one.
Yeah. Did you all check his, I mean, I'm sure you checked his cell phone.
Did you even try to call him?
Did they stay in contact with him?
Right. Like when you all got back to the hotel and he wasn't there, did you try to call him?
Or maybe the fact that he didn't hear from them is what spooked him.
Well, I just mean like the night that he didn't come home.
Yeah.
Did they even try to figure out where he was?
Right.
Or did they just sit there at the hotel and be like, I don't know, he'll come back maybe?
Right.
The other thing is, the whole deal where the doctor said he couldn't fly because of his ruptured eardrum,
mm-hmm.
do a Google search. That's not true, which is another thing that didn't occur to me until I started looking. And I was like, wait, how long would he not have been able to fly? When I Googled
yeah.
it, it's like, oh, he could have flown. That's not true. Why would a doctor tell him he couldn't? According to the United Kingdom National Health Service, yes, it is safe to fly with a perforated eardrum.
Oh.
Now, if you've had surgery to repair a perforated eardrum, you shouldn't fly until your doctor or surgeon says it's safe to do so. But he hadn't had that surgery.
Yeah, because the pressure would mess it all up.
And it's not like only one site said that. I scrolled through a whole bunch of search results and they're all like, sure, you can fly. It might be a little uncomfortable, but it's unlikely to cause any serious harm.
Just give me Tylenol.
Yeah. It's no reason to be like, you can't go home today. You need to change your flight.
Yeah.
So was this doctor just overly cautious?
Right. So is that in the medical record that the doctor gave him saying, don't fly?
Well, that's the thing. Is there a lie here? And if there is, who lied? Was it the doctor?
Right.
Or Lars? Or his friends.
Yeah.
Because when he did go to the airport doctor, that airport doctor said, yes, you're okay to fly. That was also just the next day, which maybe that's
so expected. Are the friends the ones that we heard from that said, like, he didn't tell his mom he couldn't fly. His friends told people that he couldn't fly because of his busted eardrum.
Well, he talked to his mom and he did go to the doctor himself. So he would have had to have heard that from the doctor.
Okay.
Or that is the story that he told his mom.
Right.
If the drug trafficking thing was going on, he's not going to tell his mom the drug trafficking part, but he has to come up with the reason why he couldn't.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
No.
But like maybe Lars and his friends encountered some dangerous people on their trip.
Right.
Maybe Lars tried drugs for the first time, leading to his strange behavior or maybe even triggering psychosis. Yeah. Maybe since they were German, the drug dealers forced them to take drugs back to Germany. Maybe Lars had to stay behind his insurance. Maybe he got more and more scared the longer his friends were gone.
Yeah.
But still, where is his body?
Right. Where is he at?
Lars has been described as the most famous missing person on YouTube.
Really?
By May of 2018, less than 4 years after his disappearance, the security footage of him in the airport had been viewed more than 16 million times.
Oh my gosh.
At the time he went missing, he was 5'11" tall. That's 180 centimeters, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And he had dark blonde. He had dark blonde hair.
Yeah. Is that blonde brown now? Mm. Blonde.
It could be dark blonde or light brown.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm.
And he has a scar on his left forearm.
Okay.
Every year, around 10,000 people go missing in Germany.
Jesus.
50% of all missing person cases are resolved within less than a week.
Mm.
And less than 3% are actually found within a year.
Mm.
Lars Metenk has been missing for more than 8 years.
Oh my gosh.
And that is the story.
That? Wow. Where'd you go, Lars?
I mean, it's really, if you look him up, of course, it's the case with every person that goes missing. You just see these pictures of this like normal kid. I mean, he's 28, but he's like normal and he's just having a good time. He's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
He's obviously just having a great time with his friends.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
How, where, when, why?
Yeah. Do we have anything else?
I don't think so.
To talk about?
I don't think so.
Oh. We have mentioned a few times that we're working on the fall merch now.
Yes.
And I believe the plan is to start selling fall merch in the first week of September.
Yeah.
So some of the summer designs that we've got right now are going to be phased out. And they may come back at some point.
Right.
But if there's anything that you want right now,
Jump on it.
If you are a Patreon member, you get a discount. Don't forget that. So you can find that in your Patreon post. Just scroll back. If you join it, you should be able to, whenever you join, scroll back through all the old posts. So it's updated every month, but you'll find the most recent one.
Yeah.
That's the one you can use. So there's a discount level at the Body of a Goddess Patreon level and at the Janet's one. There's two different ones. That's all.
That's it.
We love you
so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.